Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Everybody, it is Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from, well, not from, I'm Glenn the Geek.
And I'm Michelle Bergeron from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
And you're listening to a live broadcast of the Horses in the Morning Show from the Wright Lead Equestrian Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on the Horse Radio Network for November the 2nd, 2012, episode 523. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Ticket for this weekend is to the Breeders' Cup race at Santa Anita.
A big horse race this weekend. Perhaps you heard about it.
$25.5 million here at stake on Friday and Saturday.
This is the Super Bowl of horse racing.
Two huge days of racing and fame, Churchill Downs and Louisville, Kentucky.
Every horse that's in here is in here for a reason. They're all very talented. Any given day, they could all jump up and run this super race.
When they're in the starting gate, it's like they're at the line of scrimmage. That gate opens, and then all heck breaks loose.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this beautiful Friday here in Louisiana. We are so happy to be here. I want to thank Michelle from Wright Lead Equestrian Center for inviting us down here. Thanks a lot, Michelle.
Oh, we're glad y'all are here.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of cool guests lined up for today, and we have a fun week. You have a fun weekend planned for us this weekend.
We do. We're going to do a lot of fun stuff here.
Very good. Well, couple things before we get started. Jamie is off today. She is out at what show?
Galway Downs.
That's right, and she is competing out there. I think she is training level still.
I think.
Oh, it's 4-star. Yeah, that's right. She went up, but we forgot her.
Weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she moved up.
I did see pictures of her at the Halloween party at the show at Galway Downs the other night, and she was in her cowboy outfit with her tiny guns. So we need to fix that for next year. Get her some real guns or something. So I don't think we trust her with real guns, actually. But she will be back here on next week, so she'll be back to tell us all about how she did over the weekend. But we do have some fun guests lined up for today. We're going to be talking to Mary Downey, who is the wife of someone who's been on our show a number of times.
That's right. That's right. Mary is married to Denny Chapman, and he's been on the show a couple times. Mary owns Dark Horse Aside, and she's one of the most fascinating people that you will ever talk to in your life.
Very good. She rides side saddle. That is her real claim to fame.
Yeah. She Roman rides. She trick rides. And she makes costumes. She breeds horses. You name it, Mary is on top of it.
And Denny, of course, is well known for his mounted shooting. He's traveled all over the world. Yeah, he's won some big titles and is also an excellent trainer for mounted shooting.
And he's just a really nice guy. I've met him several times, and they're just a nice people.
I didn't realize they lived in Ocala by us.
She was interested to know where you guys were in relation to her, and I didn't know. So.
Well, we're going to have to go over there and do a show someday.
I think, you might see somebody riding a rhinoceros.
Seriously. That's something I've never ridden before.
There's a picture somewhere I saw recently of her son riding a rhinoceros.
And then we're going to get a little science-y, aren't we, with Emily?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, what's that about?
Emily Beasley is a PhD candidate here at LSU, and she is studying the human self-image in sports, particularly young girls, adolescent girls, in relation to horses and their interaction with horses and riding.
Very good. And then we have my segment. You did this just for me, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm a little worried.
We have three horse husbands coming on from down here.
Two horse husbands and a horse boyfriend who is horse husband material, potential.
Oh, we can talk him out of that. We got 5 minutes. We can get rid of that.
No.
That won't be a problem.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
So we have a lot of guests lined up for today. We're really looking forward to doing that. Jennifer and I drove over here from Ocala yesterday and had a very quiet, uneventful trip. And one of the things we noticed, that there is a major industry along the coast here going through Alabama and Mississippi and Baton Rouge, and that major industry is casinos. There must be 1,000 casinos.
At least 1,000 casinos.
And when did that start? Was that...
I'm not sure when the ones here started. I know the ones in Shreveport started in 1994, and I'm certain they all started about the same time. There was one in Lake Pontchartrain for a while, I think, huh, Ricky? But that was even before that. That was maybe 93, 92.
I just couldn't believe the number of them. I mean, there must
have
been 30.
And there's people in all of them.
I know.
Yeah. It's not just like they're sitting empty. There's people in all of them. You should stop in.
It is a major industry down here. I tried to convince Jennifer to stop, but she said I couldn't blow all our money before we go to New Orleans. So.
Well, that's true. But one of the things about the casinos is they have good places to eat, because I don't gamble. It's too hard to make money in horses. You know, it's hot, and it's cold, and it's wet, and I'm not giving those people money. So we go over there to eat. They have good food.
Good food. Well, we ended up stopping at the NASA test facility. Yes, Dennis, NASA test facility in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And that was very interesting. We took a tour of that. That's where they test the rocket engines. And it's the unbelievable structures that they have to hold these rocket engines in place while they're testing them. What I thought was really cool was that the structures, I mean, they're huge, and apparently they have like 60 feet of concrete under the ground so that the structure mm-hmm. doesn't take off, mm-hmm. you know, and what they can test them horizontally and vertically, which I found absolutely fascinating, and it was really cool over there. You know, they had 14,000 acres, and the reason they did 14,000 acres there is they needed a buffer zone between the engines and the houses that are nearby.
That's right.
So, and it was so funny because they had these huge sirens. I mean, I have never seen a siren that big in my life. It was a house-sized siren, and they have them all over there, and they sound the siren before they do the test of the engines. And Jennifer says, oh, so they use one loud sound before they do the second loud sound, you know?
Right.
Yeah, there's another really loud noise.
Right. My dad was a missileer in the Air Force. He can tell you all about that.
Oh, really? Well, that was fun. We had a good time stopping there, and we'll talk. You have some things planned for us, but we'll talk about that later
right.
in the show.
Right.
Let's get to our daily Winnies here. Well, my first daily Winnie goes out to Rick Bergeron, Michelle's husband, because he is the second in command of Horse Husband Nation. That's right. He is vice president of Horse Husband Nation. I'm president, and I won't give that up, so I don't care what you say, Rick. There's no elections here. This is a dictatorship.
He's president of other things. He doesn't have time.
But, Rick, thank you so much for your hospitality so far, and we're looking forward to spending the weekend with you. And we'll see if we can get away from the women and head down to New Orleans on our own.
No, I know exactly. No.
Doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No.
All right, I have a second daily win. My second daily win, he goes out to Doreen Rose, and she posted on our Facebook page. She is the one, if you remember right, who won our illuminated hoof picks from Really Bad Ads a couple of weeks ago. By the way, Really Bad Ads won't be happening today. We'll have them back again next week. So send your ads in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. But Doreen wrote to us, hey, guys, the hurricane that hit us here in Long Island didn't stop delivery of my illuminated hoof picks. Believe it or not, during the storm Monday, mail actually got delivered. That's amazing to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even occur to me to check for the mail in the middle of the hurricane, so the package blew around my front porch throughout the storm. I found it the next morning, opened it, and both hoof picks worked perfectly. They actually came in handy at the barn today. We have had no electricity, but I could see my horse's hooves just fine. Thanks again. And that is the nice thing about the illuminated hoof picks, is they, you know, you don't need any light.
I want some.
And they're very bright. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, I want one of those.
They're very bright. So we're glad that you liked them, Doreen. Do us a favor and go over and post on the Illuminated Hoofpicks Facebook page the same thing. We'd appreciate it. And tell them that you got them thanks to the Horses in the Morning Show. Well, it is your turn in the show.
My daily winning goes out to my girls at the farm that are taking care of things, so I can do this morning.
Yay!
Yay! So that would be Ellie Simmons feeding this morning and Duska Fenner feeding tomorrow afternoon so that we can go to New Orleans and do fun things. I will have to feed Sunday morning unless someone wants to volunteer. You can send me a text message. I have the phone right here. But we do appreciate... Anybody, I'll give you the code to the gate.
Hey, we all four go out there. We can knock that out.
Yeah,
We'll let Jennifer clean the stalls.
I cleaned the run-ins yesterday. Yeah. We're good.
That's no problem at all.
Treat Emmy's back. She had some biopsy yesterday in a couple of places, but it'll be in and out real fast.
Good. Very good. Well, we tell us a little bit about Wright Lead Equestrian Center and what it is and what you guys do.
Wright Lead Equestrian Center is my farm, and it's 15 acres in St. Gabriel, which is just outside of Baton Rouge. So we say we're in Baton Rouge.
Right near the Mississippi River, aren't you?
Right. The farm, you can see the levee quite easily from the farm. And, in fact, when the river's high, you can see all the ships going by.
Oh, really?
And they're way over your head.
Oh, cool.
It's a little disturbing to see that. You see the whole ship floating up over your head. But yeah, we're right by the levee. We can go ride on the levee if we want, or go ride behind the levee, depending on the water level.
You can ride on the levee.
My old horse, the last time I rode on the levee, we popped splints. So you can get up there. You can go a really long way before you've noticed how far you've gone at all. And then
so it's sort of like walking on the beach.
You
walk on the beach and everything looks like it's right there, mm-hmm.
and
you keep
walking.
And then when the way back, you go, oh man, I walked way too far.
Like,
yeah.
How
far did I go?
How am I going to get back before it's pitch black dark? Yeah, that's happened a couple of times. So yeah, we're right there by the levee. I have about 17 students on a weekly basis. We have a great group of people and everyone gets along.
Do you have adults and kids too?
I have kids. I have people that are new to riding, adults that are new to riding. I have adults that rode as children, that did their family, that came back later. I've had people just want to come out and can we just come and learn how to groom horses? We don't really think we want to ride, but I'd like to have one in my yard.
What's your background?
My background? I grew up I started in a fox hunting barn. My parents would never let me go out and field hunt. So we had a pack of hounds and we would go out and exercise the hounds down the road and that was really fun. And did that.
That's Jennifer.
We didn't do show hunters as they are today. I mean, my instructor was an old fox hunter guy. So we did, riding out, more eventing type stuff. And then I moved to a barn where I did equitation and was really good at that. I went to college, did intercollegiate. I started an intercollegiate team at Northwestern State at Scholars College. And then got out of school and didn't ride a whole lot for about 2 years and then got back into it, into eventing. And
I think are most of your students eventers?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of people that are really big into showing because, like we were talking about last night, a local show for us is 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
So, just paying for the gas to get to the show, then you the hotel, the meals. We do a lot of little schooling show stuff, but we do everything that sounds interesting. We're primarily events, but, we did the ACTA stuff. We take the horses out in trail ride and do some ACTA stuff, and
Louisiana mostly a Western area, or is it Western English?
Ricky brought me a card. I forgot. I didn't forget, but yeah, I have, along the way I did, after I graduated from college, I went and did my British Horse Society.
Oh, they really?
Yeah, at Grand Cypress in Florida, in Orlando, actually.
Yep.
So I spent quite a bit of time in Ocala. And I'm a NARA certified instructor for the handy, I think they're called PATH now.
Mm-hmm.
And how I met Mary Downey was for international side saddle certification. So I'm a certified side saddle judge and instructor. And I have, usually we do that for fun. I've had a couple people call that just want to do side saddle. But mostly it's a, wow, it's been a really bad day at school or work. Can I just ride side saddle and have some fun? So we do that. And I take my Cleveland Bay horse out and we do demos.
And we did a show on Cleveland Bays. Yes. We're one of the rare breeds that you have in your barn.
It is.
So, and they're neat horses.
They really are.
I've actually rode one of those years ago. We stumbled on and ended up owning a Cleveland Bay. Mm-hmm. And they're just really, really neat horses.
They're super.
And there are not many of them left.
No, there's 700 purebreds in the world.
Yeah, it's one of the rare breeds. Now, is that increasing?
Problem.
Are we on the rise?
Very slowly. You know, the economy is not helping people put foals on the ground. People like a horse with a lot of color.
You had a foal here recently to your Cleveland Bay, right?
I did 4 years ago, but that's the one we lost.
That was the one we lost. Okay. So is it because of the economy that we're not seeing an increase? Because I know they're actively trying in some of the other breeds that are rare.
Yeah, and I think we talked to the gypsy horse people at WAG, and they said all it takes is, you know, $500,000 to get your advertising campaign off the ground, and we just don't have that. Yeah.
You're on mute, too.
The North American group, we have 100 members, 130 members. You know,
wow.
We're not going to raise $1 million
right
out of 130 members. So what it takes, and it's the big argument, it's very circuitous. You know, do you just put more horses on the ground, or do you take the ones that you have and get out and compete them and then drive the interest that way? Well, the breeders say you put more horses on the ground. And
the competitors say you get out and compete them,
exactly. You know, well, you can't compete them if you don't have them. Well, that's true, but nobody's going to want them if you don't take them out and compete them. So there needs to be more is the bottom line. There needs to be more of them out there showing. They need to, you know, what's the answer? I don't know what the answer is. So I do what I can with my mare, and she's priceless to me, no matter what breed she is. And
are there many stallions?
There are not a lot of stallions, and they have to be licensed and inspected and do the whole production. There's two stallions in Tennessee. I think we're going to probably try to breed again this spring, and we'll use one of those stallions. So there's a lot. We could do a whole nother show on Cleveland Bay.
So you now tell us a little bit about Baton Rouge, where we are.
Baton Rouge. Well, this is the state capital of Louisiana, and we are right on the river. The name Baton Rouge, actually, it's French, and it means red stick. So this is the Red Stick City. And if I remember correctly from junior high history class, Louisiana history, the Indians that lived here had a big red totem pole right on the riverbank. And when the French settlers came down the river, they saw this giant red stick. They'd never seen a totem pole, so they called it Baton Rouge, meaning red stick, and that's how the city got its name.
It is the capital of Louisiana. Yep. And we are in the lower east side of the state.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're about, how far are we from New Orleans?
From New Orleans, if we go in my car, we'll get there in 45 minutes.
So we're just north of New Orleans at this point.
Yeah, a little bit. A little northwest.
And we were talking, this area, obviously, the whole area here was hit by Katrina. Mm-hmm. The whole area was hit by Katrina. Was there a big effect here? I mean, was it something that you saw a lot of damage where you are right here?
No, not right here. We had a lot of wind. We had a lot of water. But we didn't have the devastation and the structural damage that New Orleans did. We got way worse into the stick with Gustav in 2008. This last Hurricane Isaac, we expected another Gustav, but Luckily, we didn't. We didn't have all the power poles down and the trees down. And we, just like what you're hearing right now with all the people on the East Coast, we didn't have power for a week. Even in Katrina, we didn't have power for a week. Some people didn't have power for 2 or 3 weeks. That's what happens when you have a storm.
Yeah, and then you end up with the situation that's going on up there right now with all of the people who can't get gas, and the gas stations are closed, and the ones that are open are running out of gas, and there's lines.
Oh,
and
it's a bizarre thing. And I heard somebody say that, you know, they went to the grocery store and there was no bread and there was no ice. Yeah, that's how it is. And the first time you see it, it will scare the mess out of you when the grocery store is empty and the lines go all the way to the back of the store.
Yeah.
I mean, it's empty, and all I can figure is this must be what it's like to live in a, you know, communist Russia or something like that, where you hear the stories that there is no food available. It's a really scary thing.
Yep.
The police won't let you back into your house, or yeah, it's the storms aren't anything to mess with.
Now we're waiting on our first guest here. You want to do that? Do you want to go to
start with?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's,
okay.
Because is Mary calling in or?
Yeah, I just had an email from Mary right here. She says she can't get through.
Can't get through. Jennifer, can you call her, please? Thank you. Have a seat. Come on in. So we're doing this live, so we have to we obviously have to adjust a little bit. And poor Emily just walked in the door, and we're throwing headset on her. So Emily, you have to be about 2 inches from the mic, and we'll let Michelle introduce you.
This is Emily Beasley, and she is one of my students, and she is leasing one of my horses. Whoop! Watch your arms there. She has ridden most of her life. She's just now started to ride English. She's ridden Western with her dad for years. And Emily is a PhD candidate here at LSU, and she's going to talk to us about what she's studying and hopefully the project that we will try to put together at the farm.
Very good. So you were a Western girl, huh?
I was.
Were you? What would you do, barrels, or did you?
A little bit, but I was really small. My dad was just a calf roper, so a lot of rodeo experience.
Yeah, and why you? What did she talk you into this conversion thing?
Not exactly. I am completely converted now, though.
I realized I started jumping recently, and she is all about that.
And the last time I picked up a Western saddle, I was pretty sure I was converted. It was pretty difficult. But yeah, I mean, it's just I was wanting to get back into riding, and I had a friend that was riding out there and went out and watched and was just like, sold, I'm in, I'm good for it. So
what are you doing now riding-wise?
Riding-wise, I'm jumping.
She went to her first show.
Yeah?
In September.
Yes, September was the first show. What?
And you have her jumping already?
Well, she just needed some work on her equitation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She can stick.
What's much easier to jump with that English saddle than the Western one, anyway? So.
I don't know. I've never tried, and I don't think I want to.
I have tried, and no, you don't want to.
Does she have you riding side saddle yet?
Not yet.
She
I don't
keeps
know if
begging
I'm
out on that. She's going to do it.
I'm not quite sold on the side saddle.
She's that's too much. It's just too much. Yeah.
When she starts jumping side saddle, that.
So you're at LSU.
Yes.
And so tell us you're out there, you're in your doctorate program now.
Yes.
Okay. So what was your major in your undergraduate?
Undergraduate, I was actually elementary education. So I taught elementary school. My master's is health education. And then I ended up teaching physical education. So my PhD will be in kinesiology.
Okay. And you're doing a very interesting horse-related thesis.
My thesis is not necessarily horse-related, but Michelle and I have been talking a little bit back and forth about a potential research project that we could do, because all of my research is based on self-concept. And
which means what to a person who obviously doesn't have any?
You would think much more of self-esteem, but it's just a little bit more specific, a little bit more multidimensional. And so it's more specifically physical self-concept, how somebody feels about themselves physically, their health, their body image is part of that, strength, coordination. So there's just a bunch of small components to that. So that's what I look at, and I look at self-concept, physical self-concept of young girls in physical education, and how gender stereotypes are kind of related.
And what have you learned so far? What do you think?
Well, right now I'm kind of looking at how self-concept is constructed with regards to the environment and your frame of reference. So the study I'm collecting data for now is looking at girls in same-sex physical education and then co-educational classes. So if they're comparing themselves to very athletic males or just other girls around them. So this is kind of how they form their own self-concepts.
Interesting. Interesting, because, you know, it's not something you even think about, too much, because in our world, especially because we compete against each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't do separate classes and don't
And there's not many guys at the shows.
Right. Yeah, I would say probably, you know, in Western world, there are more guys, but mm-hmm. they're not competing. There it is separated because the barrel racers are separate. And
That's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but when you get into jumping and dressage and eventing, it's all just competing, especially eventing, you're all mm-hmm. just competing against each other.
I've actually read that it's the only sport where males and females actually do compete against each other.
That, and I heard sailing are the only two, mm-hmm. but I have no experience with sailing, so I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, it is. I think you do see women on the sailing ships. So what you said you were working on a project. What's that about?
Well, there was an article posted not too long ago on, I guess it was Facebook or some webpage, talking about young girls and how being around horses just increases their self-esteem.
Keeps them away from guys.
Yeah, and so how it's so good for them. Well, it's pretty much well documented that girls always have lower self-concept, lower physical self-concept than boys. And so the idea is kind of based off of another study that I've seen that looked at using equine facilitated psychotherapy and kind of forming an intervention to try to influence self-concept of these students, like students at risk adolescents. So kind of the idea is if you could identify a small group of young girls who are identified as having low self-concept, low self-esteem, body image, and then if we were to take them and do a few classes a week or maybe just a grooming session, you know, a stable management type session, and then to see at the end if their self-concept actually was influenced. And from all the research I've read looking at self-concept in relation to equine therapy, therapeutic riding, there's not very much. It's always kind of hypothesized that self-concept is going to improve. Most of it's actually related to therapeutic riding.
Right.
But the measures that they use are not necessarily ideal. So it's kind of the idea that with a program like this or some type of intervention that it would be fairly successful if we looked at physical self-concept instead of just global self-esteem.
We have to get you in touch with Michael McNeil, who years ago was the drummer for Three Dog Night? Yeah, we'll have to get you in touch with him because he runs that Inner City Slickers program that really is, you know, I think is proving that concept in every city across the country, and he does a tremendous job with it. And I think, you know, we all know it. We all know that happens in the self-concept and you know, why horse girls end up being a little more, for the most part, a little more mature, and they don't get into the trouble that others get into. And I always wondered, is that because the horses are all consuming and they're, you know, it's kind of an addiction. I always said the horse girls are addicted, but, you know, it's a good addiction. So mm-hmm. is that the case that, or if they were into something else, if they were into skiing to that degree, would it be the same result? Are the horses the cause of it, or is it because they're just so focused on one thing? Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
I think it's a little bit of yes and no, because with regards to physical self-concept, there's a reciprocal relationship with physical activity. And there is quite a bit of research documenting the activity levels, your energy expenditure when you are jumping and riding. So the more active you are, the higher your physical self-concept is going to be. So there's that relationship. But then there's also the sense of if I'm comparing myself to others, you know, I'm not in a situation where I'm comparing my performance to necessarily that of the girl next to me. You know, it's me and there's the sense of the relationship. There's also some stuff that I've read that talks about how there's a huge sense of ownership, accomplishment, overcoming obstacles. You know, the horses it's documented they reduce anxiety, trait anxiety. So it's a little bit of everything, especially when you think of forming your self-concept in relation to your environment and what's going on around you. I think it's just a huge combination of factors.
Well, and I would think, I know for me, I would want to do better for my horse.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares what somebody on the street says?
And I think
that doesn't, that just is so irrelevant to me. The horse would be a bigger motivator, and always has been, than anything anybody could ever have sold me.
And in that relationship, I don't think you have that same relationship with your skis, for instance.
No.
I mean, you know, you're not getting that feedback that you're getting with from your horse,
mm-hmm.
which is the dynamic that you don't have with the other sports. I mean, the soccer ball is just there, you know.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And the research is so limited. And the little stuff that has been done, like I said, has been with therapeutic riding. And it's documented in those situations that self-concept does improve body image. But that's one of the main ideas in what I have read, that it's that sense of, you know, that relationship, that sense of ownership or responsibility. You know, you're responsible for something. And it's quite different, a very different dynamic.
So what are you going to do with your doctorate?
Continue the same path. Continue to do research, teach university level.
So you want to go to university level?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you're tired of little kids?
Well, I'm actually teaching university right now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'll
tell
you
a
secret. There's not that much difference.
Not from the stories I've heard you tell.
No.
I thought she was in gym class with the junior high kids. So yeah,
she's actually teaching, was it the master's students?
I'm the coordinator of the undergraduate program for students who are going to be PE teachers.
Gotcha. You're right. At that level, there's not much difference
from
the junior high to
it seems like
we go from junior high to high school, and then we revert back to junior high again.
Yes.
That's the first couple of years of college.
Well,
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
That sounds like a lot of fun, and it's deep stuff, but it's really neat stuff for us in the horse world because we see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see it in our barns. When we had our barn and we had all of the high schoolers coming through, you did see a difference with those kids than the kids that weren't involved with horses.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We just need the numbers.
Now you can prove it.
Yes.
Now you can prove that what we know actually exists, it works on paper.
Yes,
yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, very good. Thank you so much for joining
you.
Us. Emily, we appreciate it.
All right, for coming.
Well, we're going to take a break here for a commercial, and then we're going to be back with a guest, the wife of someone who's been on our show a number of times. We're going to be right back with her right after Kentucky Performance Products. Regular listeners to the show know that we love Kentucky Performance Products, and that's an easy thing to do because Kentucky Performance Products stand behind their products and they believe in them. Your complete satisfaction is guaranteed. If you are unsatisfied with any of their products, they will gladly refund your money. Does your horse or pony get fat on air alone? Is he living in a dry lot or turned out with a muzzle? Can't feed him more than a handful of grain and some hay? Then you need Microphase. Microphase is a great way to ensure your horse or pony gets all of the nutrients he needs to stay healthy without adding calories to his diet. Microphase contains the vitamins and trace minerals not found in grass or hay, and your horse will eat it right out of your hand. You can learn more about Microphase and all of the products from Kentucky Performance Products by visiting kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. Check out Microphase. Well, thank you to Kentucky Performance Products for continuing their support of Horses in the Morning. We are here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Jennifer and I are at Wright Lead Equestrian Center. We have Michelle, the owner-operator of Wright Lead Equestrian Center, here with us. And Michelle, we have a guest coming up that is the wife of somebody that we've had on the show a number of times.
That's right. That's going to be Mary Downey, and she is Denny Chapman's wife.
And Denny, of course, is well-known for mounted shooting and a number of other things in the horse world, horsemanship and everything.
Right.
So let's see if we can get Mary. Mary, are you there?
Good morning.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Michelle.
Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Happy
to
be
Mary,
here.
Well, Mary, we have a lot of things that we can talk to you about, but I didn't realize that you guys, and I didn't realize that Denny was in Ocala.
I have been here for 30 some years, and Denny has been down here since he left the Kentucky Horse Park about 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to have to come over and visit you guys one of these days.
Absolutely.
Well, now, Mary, you told me Mary has done a lot of things, Michelle.
Mary has done everything. You name it, Mary's done it. She was one of the people, one of the two people that came down and did my side saddle certification, and that's how I met Mary. And while she was here, we just got to talking, and I discovered what a fascinating person she is. She's done trick riding and Roman riding and jumped through hoops of fire and has trained people to trick ride and Roman ride, and she breeds horses. She breeds black horses specifically.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, Mary, because I don't quite get that one. So.
And she makes costumes. She has a Frisian horse. I believe, Mary, you have one of your USDF medals, and I think you got it aside. There's really nothing that Mary doesn't do.
Well, Mary, let's talk about side saddle first. How'd you get into side saddle?
Let's see. First time I ever rode side saddle, I was on the Royal Lipizzan Stallion Show, and they wanted to do a production number, Spanish, around Don Anderson's White Horse Troop, and I was on the White Horse Troop then and said, sure, let's do side saddle. So they pulled a bunch of side saddles in and threw them on the horses, and we proceeded to do our regular little drill that we did. And that was my first introduction. I had no idea how much I didn't know the first time that I rode side saddle. I had no idea.
I think that happens to a lot of us.
Think they can get on and just go?
Yeah.
Yes, and the biggest problem that we have is side saddles are so difficult to get to fit that most people get their aunts or their grandmothers or somebody's saddle out of the attic, and then they expect them to fit our modern-day horses, and they don't, and so they roll.
know how to tack them up correctly.
Yes, or there is that. You tack a side saddle horse from the off side, not the near side, for obvious reasons. If you're sitting on your horse and you need to tighten your girth and you can only work underneath where your leg is, you have a problem. So everything girths up. The whole girthing system is set up to work from the off side, both from the ground.
Boy, and that thing's got to be tight. I mean, when you're sitting on a regular saddle, you have some sense of balance there, but with the side saddle, you've got all of your pressure really on the ones. No?
You're riding.
See, that's what I didn't understand, too. When I first started, you know, from the time you're very young and you start taking riding lessons, in almost every discipline they tell you, keep some weight in your stirrup, keep your heels down. Well, that's the quickest way to roll a side saddle. Most of my side saddle riders, I put them on a stride, kick their right leg over. Most side saddles are built for the left side, not all of them, but most of them. And when you kick your leg over, the main thing is that your right leg or your top leg is straight down the horse's spine. You want to keep your hips square to his withers and his ears. You don't let your body twist in the middle, or your lower back will just be extremely painful after about 10 minutes. You have to sit as you would astride. You should look from the back like you're as straight as you are when you're riding astride. If not, you're not sitting properly. Either the saddle doesn't fit you or the horse. Or there are things you can do to change the position of the saddle just with shims. Or we use, a lot of times, we get saddles that fit. We have small riders like Michelle, and she has a huge horse. So we get the horse to fit the saddle. The saddle fit the horse first. And then we use a queen, what we call a queen. It's actually a big pad that goes over the top horn that moves the right leg or top leg over so that it's right down the center line of the horse. It's important that your balance is centered. If not, I think that a lot of people are now beginning to understand, and not so much years ago, that your weight affects every movement of your horse. Absolutely not just your leg on a horse. So if you're not sitting balanced in the saddle, your horse is going to move sideways. Your horse is going to move out from under you. Your horse is going to dog track instead of coming in. Side saddle dressage, one of the first things I look for if anybody is coming into an arena that I'm judging is a straight line coming in. Because if they're not on a line coming down the center very, very straight, then their whole pattern's going to be off.
And if you keep with that train of thought, Mary, the horse is going to be sore, and then he isn't going to want to work.
Absolutely, absolutely. I stress with most of my, as you remember, most of my beginners when they first get on the side saddle to get on a stride and then swing their leg over. And for the first couple lessons, I do not give them a stirrup. I do not give them a stirrup. You've got to center your balance and center your weight, because if that stirrup's there to help your leg to keep it from getting tired, but you don't put a lot of pressure on it. Obviously, the top leg doesn't need it, and you don't keep your heel down with the top leg, because then you cramp up, and that's top leg is what helps keep you in the saddle.
So is it comfortable? I mean, obviously, this started back, you know, a long time ago when women were wearing dresses, and it was, no?
You can't wear a dress when you ride side saddle. Well, very dangerous.
But they did.
They did, and they had a lot of accidents.
Yeah. A lot of people got hung and drug.
Because that was it was a modesty thing way back? Yeah. Which is why the women did it. But is it comfortable to ride for long distances? Yeah.
If you do it correctly. I mean, yeah, you have to use a different set of muscles. And I'll be riding around at the farm if I'm getting ready to go do a demo or something, and I'll pull the saddle out and like, oh, my God. And I got to swing my leg back over for a couple of minutes and stretch it out and rub it out and then get back across and get back on with life.
Yeah. And Mary, do they make new side saddles? Does anybody make a new side saddle?
Sure they do. Yeah, it's easier to get a Western side saddle right now made than an English. Marty Friddle in Hundred Oaks, at Hundred Oaks Saddlery in North Carolina, she is the main supplier for side saddles in the U.S. She's been a member of World Side Saddle and International, and she's been in it for years. I joined the side saddle world and trying to get a little better educated in 74 or 76, about that time. And she was already had been in it for a considerable amount of time. So when it comes to saddles or saddle fit or where to find a specific saddle for a certain discipline, she's the lady I would call. There are other people out there. You can go on eBay, which is a scary place to go buy side saddles, because most of them, seriously, are not built on side saddle trees.
I was going to say, it's a scary place to buy regular saddles.
Yeah, well, the trees, most of the saddles, and some of them are pretty expensive, but most of the trees in those saddles are made for riding astride, and they just build them for riding side saddle on those trees. A regular side saddle tree, to look at it stripped down, isn't asymmetrical. It's you can see that one side has a wider set. Let me see how to explain this. There isn't straight bars on the same side. They don't match. And the wider side, which is the left side, needs to be built up more so that you don't reach for that stirrup or you don't slide off that side or you don't roll the saddle to one side. So there's a little bit more to making a side saddle than pretty tooling. And you can get some really pretty tooled side saddles, but when you look at them, the Western ones in particular, the stirrup will be hanging right where an astride rider would be sitting, which is so going to throw you off balance if you're side saddle, because your foot is so much farther forward.
Well, Mary, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you, when I was talking to Michelle earlier, and she said, well, she also breeds blacks. And I said, is black a breed? And so tell us about what that means.
Well, I've shown all different breeds of horses, all different breeds here. It's how I paid the bill. Every stall had a name. It was truck payment, farm payment, you know, feed hay. Each stall had to be full. Well, with the changing economy and things like that all the time, you can't always have the same breed of horse. You know, you might have to be a little bit versatile. You might have to ride gated. You might have to ride. At one time, I had Morgans, Saddlebreds, Arabs, quarter horses. I had a little bit of everything in here at one time, and I was going to 2 and 3 horse shows a weekend. And one thing I noticed about the black horses, and absolutely every single breed I had here, were specific traits that seemed to be linked to the color. I did a little bit more studying over the years on that, and I did rehab for U of F down here for a little while, and I talked to a lot of the people about the genetics there, and came to find out that one of the reasons thoroughbred breeders don't say a horse is a black, generally speaking, is like saying it has no hindquarters. You have no breaking out of the gate power, a weak rear end, whatever. It's pretty much noted as being a bit recessive. And I don't have a total and firm grip on it, but I can see through the different breeds of horses where you can see like a weakness in our drop croup, or turn stifles that turn out slightly, or what's commonly referred to as cow hocked, and which came first, chicken or the egg, the stifles or the hocks. Different things with that. And we started, the doctor that I was talking to at the University of Florida is no longer up there. He's retired. But we would talk, and when we were referring to these different traits that we noticed in all the different breeds in the black horses, it was very, very difficult to get one straight, sound, and solid that didn't have problems behind, and we start calling it black horse disease. It isn't a disease. That was just our little term for what we were noticing in the different breeds. I have walking and racking horses here right now, as well as Frisians. Frisians on their curing papers, when you take them to be judged with the European judges, they have one spot that just judges the hocks, you know, specifically standing still at model. There's a reason for that. You know, it's one of the first things that seems to go in the different breeds with the black horses. So that's just it's just been kind of a pet project of mine. And being in show business as many years as I have been, the three main colors that you used to use out there in the arena were palominos, white horses, or black horses. They were the easiest ones for people to look at and see dressed up, when you could use different colors of clothes on them that would make your costuming effect a little stronger. And so for that reason, the black horses, when I got into it, I wasn't prepared for the different issues I ran into with that. But slowly I'm learning.
And it is my favorite color, by the way, of horse.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah, it always has been. Because I was always a Percheron guy, and I always went for the black ones. Yeah. Now, with you actually went from white ones. You were part of the Lipizzaner troupe, and then ended up with black ones. Now, and you know, have you gotten into mounted shooting at all? Because you know your husband does a little bit of that across the country and wins a few championships here and there.
Well, I've been a member of CMSA for 11 years, Cowboy Mounted Shooting Association. I have not shot my first match. There's a reason for that. Actually, there's two.
He won't let you, because you're going to show him
up.
No,
that's one. No. No.
Even halfway.
No competition here. No, none. This whole family is competitive. I mean, we're a whole family of equine performers, and my son is third generation Wild West performer. He is the pistolero. He goes around the country doing his gun spinning and whips and is an NRA instructor, and he shoots. He's developed a gun for cowboy mounted shooting. But no, I haven't shot because I have several handicaps, and I've had both of my thumbs operated on, and they don't work well. So the guns my son made for me personally to shoot with have what he calls a mule ear. And they're not legal. They're not legal to compete with. So you'll only see me shooting in the practices or in movie work or something like that. If we
have
something.
You just got to get the rules changed, Mary. That's all.
Do what?
You just got to get the rules changed.
Well, I don't want to get into that right now because if Danny will get after me.
Mentioned movies. Have you been in movies?
We do some more. We worked on The Walking Dead, the buckskin horse, and Spanky's been on The Walking Dead the second season. He was on there. And the buckskin horse that's on most of the season now came from us that they're using on the show quite a bit. But, yeah, I trained, matter of fact, some of the it's very, very interesting. Some of the work we had to train on site for on the side of a mountain, and literally a human walking path that we had to train the horses to go down and come running around a corner free after one of them dumped Denny and he took a spill and went down a cliff. I mean, that was in the script. He was supposed to do that.
Oh, okay.
But I had to train the horse. I didn't realize we were going to be working.
You were pretty casual about that, Mary. We were concerned.
Yeah. Around here, they practice falling off.
Yeah, do you have insurance, large quantities of insurance on Denny, by the way? Just you should.
No, not really.
We know, no. Denny. You should.
Well,
Mary,
yeah.
We're running out of time here. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're definitely going to have to get over. We live about 3 miles from Live Oak, from Chester Weber's place. So we're definitely going to have to get over to see your farm and to say hi in person.
Well, anytime. Just give us a holler. I was supposed to be teaching this morning, but this is much easier.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks,
we appreciate you being here.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And her website, for anybody that wants to check it out, is maryrivers.com. Is
right.
that it? Maryrivers.com. Okay, very good.
She has some great pictures on there.
Well, we're going to be back with my favorite part of the show that you scheduled today, and that's all about horse husbands and future horse husbands. We'll talk about that. Don't worry. We'll give us 5 minutes. We'll convince him not to. Oh, wait a minute. She's here, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Oh.
She had to drive him. He's crippled.
Yeah,
this
potential horse husband walked in with a cast on her, so we're going to have to talk about that, too, find out about that. But first, I have to talk to you about stud muffins. You know, you're looking for holiday gifts this year, and everybody likes to buy treats for their horses or for their friends' horses, and the treat of choice this year is going to be stud muffins, and I'll tell you why, is because they have the coolest packaging. They have a new little pack trunk that actually plays music, and it plays the 12 Days of Christmas, only they have modified it to the 12 Nays of Christmas and written their own song.
Oh,
so when you open it up, it is really cute what it says and does. And, of course, stud muffins are the treats that everybody's horses love. You know, our horse will really try and bite your hand off to get these.
Oh, my.
The one thing that we talked about this last week with the owner of Stud Muffins, the lady who started it, and it is really difficult to keep the horses away from the stud muffins. You have to keep them separated. You have to make sure that your hands are protected.
Oh,
and
some chain mail.
Because they love these things.
I managed to teach Beaker a trick with my stud muffins.
What was that?
I've taught him now because Beaker is treat aggressive. I have to be very careful.
Okay.
He'll just take your whole hand off in an effort to get a cookie. He doesn't understand use your indoor lips. He doesn't get that. But I've taught him now that whenever I have a cookie, I tell him to put his head down, and he'll put his nose on the ground, and he'll keep it there until I tell him to put his head back up. It's really cool.
Really? The clicker?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. He was kind of clicker trained when I got him, so he has a vocal cue that does the same thing. So he understood what the vocal cue was. But this is the first time I've ever been able to teach him to do what I would consider a trick. I say you do it, and you just keep doing it till I tell you to you're done. I was so excited, and I think the stud muffins put him over the edge motivation-wise.
Yeah, if you're going to train your horse, stud muffins are the things to train him with because they are super motivated. It's not just your average cookie. You know, they're super motivated here. So for holiday gifts, look for them. It should be all of the holiday. They have candy canes full of stud muffins. They have little stocking stuffers full of stud muffins. And then they have these really cute tack trunks. And I think the tack trunks are going to sell out immediately. So look for them at your local tack shops or online. Most retailers have them. Most of your local tack shops have them. If they don't, go in and say they should get stud muffins. But by the way, the name. I mean, and I thought it was perfect that stud muffins commercial is going to lead us into our discussion with horse husbands. So I thought that was a perfect transition.
Right.
Thank you, Michelle, for that. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And so just find them. You can find them at your local retailers, and you can find them online. Stud muffins. They're the treat of choice for this holiday season. And from that, we're going to go right into our guests here. And we have one of them sitting with us, and the other two are on the phone. Why don't you introduce the one sitting here with the cast first? Because he is the one that all of us need to talk to.
Yes.
Hello.
This is Felipe Fuente, and he is currently going out with one of my students, Jessica Fenner, who's over on the sofa.
Jessica's here, unfortunately,
monitoring,
so I have to be careful what I say because
exactly.
She's within throwing distance
that's
here.
That's right. She's a strong girl. Look at this.
And then on the phone, well, say hi, Felipe.
Hello there. Hey, Horse World.
Now, before we get to our other guest, Felipe, you walked in here with a walking cast on.
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
Did you fall off? Did she beat you? What is it? Do we need to call the police, file a complaint?
Yeah, her horse just went crazy. Her horse is the most relaxed horse ever. It's ridiculous. I play basketball.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably what would happen. No, I play basketball and soccer, and I broke my right one about 2 years back, and then, yes, or 2 days ago, I broke my left one.
Playing basketball?
Basketball. I jumped up and I landed on somebody's foot.
See, people think riding is dangerous. I have very few riders with injuries. It's all this other sports
riding
stuff that they get.
I really have never heard of anybody breaking their leg playing basketball.
I haven't either.
You need to take up a new sport.
I really do.
You're obviously doomed.
I get really competitive. The previous guest said she was really competitive. I really don't think she knows. Bad.
Felipe went to his first recognized horse show last weekend. Holy cow. He wasn't even riding.
Oh, man. Can't wait till I get to roll.
And how long have you been the boyfriend?
For about 4 or 5 months. Yeah.
No, longer than that.
Longer than that? Okay. It's been a while.
When she broke her wrist. Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
So April.
Did she break her wrist playing basketball or?
Soccer. The other one.
What is it? Nobody gets hurt down here with their horses.
No. That's how safe my program is.
Well, thanks to Michelle.
I send them off to get damaged. I don't damage them.
All right, let's get our other guests on here. We have, why don't you introduce Dennis?
Hey, Dennis. Dennis is the husband of a friend, Jenny
Good morning,
Harrison.
Y'all.
She's a trainer in Covington. Jenny and I have ridden together for years. And I was actually at dinner with them the night that they told Jenny's parents they were engaged.
Oh, okay. Dennis, when you became a horse boyfriend and started this process, were you into horses at all?
Oh, heck no, man. I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea what I was getting into, buddy.
And how long did it take you to realize that the way life was going to be, and then why did you stay?
Yeah, so probably the first horse show is when I realized that I was just way outclassed by the horses. And decided to stay, I guess. God, what a good question. No. it was a lot of fun at first. You know, as odd as that sounds, I was really into just kind of being Jenny's helper. It was just something new and interesting and neat.
By the way, Felipe.
I'm in that phase right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that'll change. Don't worry. That'll go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Dennis, you know what it is too, I think, is the breeches. You know, we stay because when we go to horse shows, because the girls wear really tight breeches and most of them have really cute butts, and that is the bottom line, isn't it, Dennis?
Come on.
And, you know, we're outnumbered like 5 million to 1. I mean,
girlfriend.
Really, if you want to talk about being like a teenage boy or something, and you know, like what sport should you get into, it's like, yeah, go ride a horse. Yeah.
I tell you what, Dennis, if I had known about Pony Club and that the girl ratio was 20-100-1, I would have been in Pony Club when I was in high school, and you could have had your...
That's what Ricky said.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like, yeah, football's great. Time for the horses.
Yeah, exactly. So have you gotten into riding? Have you converted?
I've ridden a few times, and I have to say that I believe I'd be more comfortable in like an Australian saddle or something like that, because Jenny put me on what's a dressage saddle on one of her horses, and it was like riding with a leather stool bra strap to the horse. And I mean, there was nothing to hold on to. I thought there was certain death.
I never heard that analogy. Yeah, I'm going to use that one. Dennis.
It was pretty scary, man.
I need to put Michelle's mic off is what I need to do. I need to put her on mute.
No.
Now, your wife, too, is a trainer as well, right?
Yes, definitely.
And what does she – is she an eventer or
– She's an eventer. It's, you know, yeah. I mean, that's definitely the most fun thing for me to watch is the cross country. You know, when I first got into this, it was like I thought dressage was just so boring, you know. Because it was like looking at the lower level stuff, and I was like, God, you know, just when is the cross country going to get here? And so I've been in it long enough now to where I can actually sit there and watch dressage and get into it, you know, and, oh, yeah, they did that right, or, you know, it's probably a seven or whatever. So, I mean, the craziness runs deep in this family because we've kind of dedicated ourselves to it. But Jenny is, she loves it.
Well, I tell you, I agree. And I was the same way when I first got into eventing. My wife's an eventer also, and dressage had that appeal to me as well when I first started. And, you know, it has kind of grown on me a little bit, and you're right about the difference between lower-level dressage and upper-level dressage. There is a big difference as far as spectators are concerned, especially horse husbands. But let's bring Joey in. Why don't you introduce Joey into this conversation?
Joey Reeves has been a friend of mine since I was a freshman in high school. He and Ricky and I went to college together. And
oh, so I can get the good stories from Joey.
on Ricky, there are no good stories on me. But yeah, Joey's sort of been on the periphery of the horses for a while. He would come out in college and watch me ride, and he would bring his girlfriend, who's now his wife, to clinics and just hang out with us. And it was probably the only opportunity to spend time with me when we would go to horse shows, because I was there with all of my customers, so we couldn't leave the ground. So Ricky would come see Joey and I, Joey would come see Ricky and I at the shows. Well, they've just moved to New Orleans recently, and his wife has been wanting to ride. So Lisa,
don't let her.
No, it's too late. Lisa starts to ride, and she is in hook, line, and sinker. And so now Joey is on the other side of the horse.
Joey, you had a chance to stop this before it started, and you blew it, man.
You know, I think it's probably all related back to military experience. I was in the Army for a while, and pretty much you do as you're told, right? I've for a couple of years now, coming to some of Michelle's clinics and shows and things along those lines, I've basically been the manual labor. I've never been the sharp tool in the shed. But
how long has she been riding? Did she just start here recently?
Oh yeah, since June.
Oh, well, you don't have time to convince her that this is a stupid idea. You really have time.
You know, I don't think that's going to work. to say that she's become obsessed with it in a very short period of time, you ever watch a little dog, like, really obsess on something? Like a little tiny toy terrier or something like that. That's kind of what she's like. She growls at it really, really loud, but once she gets to it and tries to bite it, it's just a little nip. Eventually, I'm afraid she's going to be a Doberman or a Rottweiler or something along those lines with it. But she's really
nice for the future. Don't compare your wife to a dog. That's never a good. I'm glad she's not listening to this, and you really don't want her to listen back to it either.
Well,
she's
giggling the whole time.
So what is, Dennis, we'll go back to you a second. We're all going to give advice now to Felipe, who's making the stupid mistake of jumping into this pool. We'll do it one at a time. Dennis, what is your advice? It looks like he's pretty convinced, and I have to tell you why. Is his girlfriend is sitting here, and she's hot. So, I mean, I understand it. I get the whole thing.
And now she's
bright red. But, Dennis, what's your advice for new boyfriends coming into this world?
Don't expect too much time. Bring your checkbook. Learn how to drive a trailer.
Well said.
I have a question. I'm waking up early in the morning, or is that something?
No. You better get used to that one. Go to bed earlier is what you do. Yeah, because they all go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that right? Is that, Joey, what's
you're
your
correct. On the 9 o'clock, you're absolutely right.
Oh yeah, we don't make it into double digits here in the PM anymore.
No hope.
That's funny. So Joey, what's your advice?
Oh man, just enjoy it. So far so good. It's been a fabulous thing. She's really getting into it and really enjoying the time spent with it. And, hell, I'm having a lot of fun with it too.
You know, too, what Dennis mentioned that, you know, when you first get into it and you're into the mechanics of it all, you're helping out at the barn and you're helping fix fence and all that stuff. One of the good things is they let you buy whatever tool you want because you're using it to help them.
Ten so, four.
you don't get that crap about not being able to buy tools. That conversation came up here at the house last night because it was like, oh, if he doesn't have that tool, he'll just go buy it. And we're in good shape.
He'll be happy to buy it.
He'll be happy to buy it. That's right.
Never
use it, and we have an excuse. It's your tool.
Absolutely.
Tools are one thing. Now, I will say that horse shows, you know, you have to find a way to entertain yourselves at some horse shows because they do get long. You know, if it's a dressage show, those days are going to be long, and I don't care what level it is, after about 5 pounds. You're going to have to find, and that's where the watching of the tight breeches comes in. But that does help us entertain. But even that, after a while, you have to find other things to entertain yourself. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. So,
what else was the appeal for the horse girl?
I had no idea about the horses, first of all. I knew she played soccer. That's what really appealed to me first. The horses kind of came after. I actually really enjoy, I like riding.
Have you ridden?
Yeah. I've had 2 lessons with Michelle, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wanting to ride and stuff, Jessica. But I think he's for real.
I really, really enjoy it.
It's going to be good. He'd be the one to give it a go.
I want to do Western and dress up like a cowboy. Is that okay?
I don't think that's happening at Michelle's bar.
That'll get you a shot at Michelle's place.
I don't even have a Western shot.
I just wanted to get it on record. That's all.
Okay.
Well, guys, we are running out of time here. Thank you so much all for joining us here today. Don't forget, go on Facebook and join a page called Horse Husbands United that I started.
That's his picture that Ricky put up, him sleeping on the dressage stuff.
Ah, got it. So join that page. That's a place where all of us can unite and, you know, discuss our dilemma together.
Jenny sent me a link to that. She manages my Facebook, so I'll have her join that for me.
Yeah, you definitely do that because I post good pictures of really pretty horse girls on there too. So
there we go.
You know, we are so – horse women are so hard to understand, and guys are so easy to understand. We only think about 2 things in the world, and, you know, that's all we do. We're very simple, aren't we?
But we only think about 1 thing, so why is it hard?
We'd
it's
really
not the
like,
same 1 thing
see,
you're thinking
I
about.
Know, and so we'd really like to add our second thing in there.
No.
That's but that never seems to happen either.
We're busy.
That would be a messed up sport.
They don't need to have headaches because they have horses. That's, by the way, horses are our headache, you know, when you think about it. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us, and good luck with the – how long are you going to be off of that thing?
About a month. It's not
about a month. Oh, okay.
It could be worse.
Stop basketball. My God.
I have to stop.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, but I have to stop, you know.
Thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Joey. Yeah. We appreciate you being on and joining us
thank
this morning.
Y'all.
Take care,
thank
guys.
You very much. Thanks, Michelle. Bye. Thank you. Goodbye.
And Felipe, thank you so much for joining us here this morning also. And I'm really going to get hit after this, aren't I?
Yeah, probably. Definitely, actually.
Yeah. I'm getting the stink eye from over there on the couch.
Gosh.
She's scrappy.
Felipe and all horse husbands out there, there's a product that you have to look at and that you have to insist that you buy. And that is the Shaken Fork from Equity Manufacturing, because we all end up having to clean the stalls. We all end up having to clean the pastures. We all end up having to clean the – because they're busy riding. So who gets stuck doing that? And that's us. Well, one of the things that makes that so much easier is this manure fork. And I know it's weird to talk about manure forks being the cool thing around, but anybody who has bought the Shaken Fork or the Flexin' Fork from Equity and actually uses it doesn't go back. And you fight over it. I use it. I get first rights to that particular manure fork, don't I, Jennifer? I get the rights to the manure fork. And what ends up happening is you end up –
you should engrave your name in it.
I know, I should. And you know what? Jamie has an engraved Equity manure fork because they were fighting over the manure fork.
Excellent.
So she actually got one that was engraved. And now they have 2 so that husband and wife are happy.
Perfect.
And the marriage works.
Perfect.
Yeah, and that's what you need to do almost when you go to the Equities. Is you need to have 2 because you're going to fight over.
Take them in pink and blue and have his.
You know,
and her.
I told her I did mention to him they're yellow, but I did mention to him that you should do it. And the reason they're so good is they actually have a spring system in them that avoids the flicking that you get when you're cleaning the pastures. It gets stuck under the mat or whatever. You avoid all of that, and it really is an excellent system. So we highly recommend for the holidays that you take a look at the Equity manure forks. either the flexus fork or the shaken fork for the holidays. And you can find them at some tack shops, but you're better to just go to equitymfg.com.
If you Google shaken fork, flex and fork, equity manufacturing, you'll find it right at the top. And what I would encourage everyone to do, when you buy your shaken fork for Christmas, it comes unassembled. Very carefully packed. NASA couldn't pack something more carefully than Joseph's shaken fork. And it comes unassembled. And it's a motorized item. It's a tool.
Is it loud?
No.
No, it actually isn't that loud.
But videotape your man putting the shaken fork together. It will be well worth it.
That sounds like a more pleasant job for sure.
So you'll have the whole, there's a tool for Christmas, there's putting stuff together for Christmas, there's
all the basics.
You're going to cover all, so horse husbands all around the world, you will get brownie points that will last you all year long.
Very good. That was a terrific commercial there, Jen.
Thanks.
You should be there.
You should be on the show.
I should do that. See y'all.
So thank you so much for talking horses in Louisiana here today. But what are we doing the rest of the weekend?
Well, after we wrap up here, Jennifer and I are going to go out to the farm. We're going to ride a little bit. And then
she's never ridden on a levee, so I think she has.
We'll see about that. And then we're going to go, I think, to the Rural Life Museum, the LSU Rural Life Museum, and the USS Kidd. We're going to go down and see the river. Maybe go to Bluebonnet Swamp.
And we ate some good Cajun food last night.
We ate it at Boutin's last night. And
Cajun music
and
going.
Cajun music, and we took a picture in front of the band. And let's see, tomorrow we're going to do New Orleans. We're going to do the French Quarter and St. Louis Cathedral and the Cabildo. And
are we driving separate so Ricky and I can stay for the evening activities?
No.
Oh.
No.
I keep getting shot. She's tougher than you.
No.
Jeez.
We have,
poor Ricky.
We have,
I'll give you the presidency of Horse Husband Nation. You deserve it.
We have a plan, and we're going to stick to that plan, and it is not going into the bars on Bourbon Street. We're going to go down Bourbon Street, but we're not. Don't make a face, Felipe.
Felipe, you come along. You can show us the road.
So, yeah, and eat beignets, you know, just the whole touristy thing. And then Sunday we're going to your family.
Yeah, actually, we're going to see my old jester from years ago. We did over 400 shows together. I played the king and he played the jester. And he and his wife, who they met doing our shows together, and now they're both jesters, and they traveled the country doing the Renaissance fairs. And it just so happens that he's right down the road here this weekend doing a Renaissance fair in Louisiana.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen him in a while.
That. I've never been to one of these, so
it'll be fun.
That'll
for
be
you.
Good.
It'll be fun for you. It's
something
just
new for everybody.
Yeah, relaxed day weekend and just a relaxed
rain.
Day. So we'll be fine. Okay. We'll be fine. We've done Renaissance. We worked Renaissance fairs in the rain before, but it was raining. It was because it was raining that Jennifer came to the first Renaissance Fair in Pennsylvania and we met.
Aww.
It was the only reason she was working on a farm and they gave her the day off because it was raining. If it hadn't been raining that day, I'd have never met her.
Yeah. You wouldn't be here?
I wouldn't be sitting here in Louisiana. Nope. I would have probably married some girl that was into something boring like
skiing
or
bowling.
Your bowling. Yeah. Right. And I would have never had this interesting life I've led.
See? It all happens for a reason.
Well, we're looking forward to all of that this weekend. We'll be back again next week. Don't forget the Breeders' Cup is later today and tomorrow. Let's not forget that. If you missed our special Breeders' Cup episode on Wednesday, go back and take a listen to it because it was a lot of fun. We had some terrific guests. And we also were doing some picks, and I noticed that some of the listeners have their picks posted on Facebook. We picked four particular races that you can find. You can just go to the picks on Facebook and see what people are picking, which races they're picking. So let me go over that here. We are picking the Classic, the Dirt Mile, the Mile, and the Ladies Classic. So those four races, post your picks on Facebook, and we have a prize pack of new, brand new merchandise from the Horse Radio Network with mugs and shirts and things that we're going to be giving out to the one who gets the closest to the winners. So it's the Classic, the Dirt Mile, the Mile, and the Ladies Classic. And, of course, this is Ladies' Day, the Breeders' Cup today. So there'll be a lot of fillies running around the track in Santa Anita this afternoon. And that starts at 4 o'clock and runs through like 8 o'clock tonight. Check your local listings.
California time?
Eastern time.
Oh, okay.
Eastern time. Check your local listings for the coverage. And then tomorrow it starts at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and goes through 9 o'clock tomorrow night. It's all day. And they're actually running right into primetime for the first time ever tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So we should see a lot of terrific races this weekend. Enjoy it. We'll be back next week to review all of that after we get back home from Louisiana.
It's going to be so full.
Yes, we've already had some terrific food, and I'm looking forward to more. Thank you, everybody. You have a great weekend. Be safe, and our best to everybody in the Northeast and your recovery, and we hope you get your power back soon. And I cannot come up with the closing music here, Jennifer. So if you can find it, it would be great because I'm not finding it.
What do you do with the closing music?
It doesn't appear to be here. I don't have closing. Let's play something.
Here we go. I found it. Look at that. It says hit 'em closing music.
There we go.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.